upheaval in Libya has political consequences for sure, but what about the economic stakes?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, what does the holding pattern in Libya mean for the global economy? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow up 54 points at 10,909. That's up about 0.5%. The Nasdaq up 0.7%. The S&P 500 up 0.3%. News this morning that the Swiss bank UBS is laying off about 3,500 workers, about half of them in the investment banking division. This follows last week's news that Bank of America is also cutting 3,500 jobs. Now let's get to Libya. NATO forces are reportedly bombing the compound of leader Muammar Gaddafi this morning. It is unclear if Gaddafi is actually in the compound, though. And oil traders seem to be hedging their bets on the whole Libya situation. In New York trading right now, oil is at around $83 a barrel, just about 50 cents lower today. Julie Neiman is an analyst with Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live now from St. Louis, as she is every Tuesday. Good morning, Julie.
Morning.
So is the situation in Libya having any impact at all on oil prices?
Well, basically, Libya had about 1.8 million barrels a day coming out of it. Most of it went to Italy. Europe had to shift around supplies to make up for that kind of loss. If Gaddafi falls, it'll be months before that oil goes back online again. And that's assuming he doesn't do a scorched earth policy like Saddam Hussein did to Kuwait in 1991. Hmm. The oil companies will move back in slowly. Optimistically, it's going to be 6 months before they actually return online. Now, in Gulf War II, Iraq still is nowhere close to production it had before the war. So, you know, we really don't know how fast this will be coming back on.
So it sounds like you're saying that people are not really focusing on Libya in terms of an effect on oil prices globally right now.
And it won't be that significant because weighing on the price of oil is really deteriorating conditions of the economies worldwide. Demand's likely to decline, and that's going to put further downward pressure on oil prices. The world just isn't strong enough to support $100 a barrel. But there's really no relief in sight for consumers near term.
How long does it take for whatever happens in Libya and however that impacts the price of oil to reach us at the gas pump?
Well, it's about 60 days from the wellhead actually to your gasoline pump. Refiners are working at full capacity right now. The demand this summer has been fairly steady, even with the big swings in prices. But now we're going to be seeing a shift away from gasoline to heating oil, and that's not going to help gasoline out at all. It's going to be very high this winter to get the heating oil. So even with the economy deteriorating, prices for gasoline and heating oil still aren't cheap, and they're not going to get cheap as we want it to be just because we have tight market volatility right now.
Julie Neiman, analyst with Smith Moore & Company. Thanks as always.
You bet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at IBM.com/engines. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The White House will unveil plans today to cut hundreds of federal regulations for businesses. That's according to an op-ed in this morning's Wall Street Journal from an Obama administration official. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now from Washington with more on this. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Jeremy.
So, Nancy, give us some details here. What kind of regulations are we talking about?
Jeremy, they cover everything from rail safety to gas tanks. Now, some of these regulations are obviously redundant and unnecessary. There's a rule that gas stations have to install valves on pumps to keep gas vapors from escaping when you're pumping gas, even though there's already technology on cars that does exactly the same thing. Mm. The Transportation Department will now only apply certain railroad safety rules where they're actually needed. The White House says that'll save up to $340 million. The Department of Homeland Security is going to expedite clearance of low-risk travelers through security at airports. It says a pilot program over the past year has already saved passengers time, which DHS values at more than $2 million. And the Environmental Protection Agency will allow more paperwork to be filed electronically. And the White House says that'll save up to $126 million a year.
And Nancy, I assume that none of these new regulatory changes involve any of the new regulations that came as part of Wall Street reform or healthcare reform.
That's right, Jeremy. In fact, the National Association of Manufacturers says regulations from those new laws are actually more of a threat to job creation and competitiveness.
All right, well, let's get some reaction now from Professor Charles Elson, who heads up the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware. Professor Elson, do you think that these new regulatory changes being announced today will help create jobs?
Way too little, way too late, given the regulatory posture of this administration, a bit disingenuous and, I think, grasping at straws.
But we're still talking about hundreds of regulatory cuts, right?
Well, you know, the general theme of this administration has been heavy, heavy regulation in all kinds of areas. And it's basically like having someone hit you on the head with a lead pipe and then offering to shake your hand. It doesn't get you very far.
Well, let me ask you, though. I mean, there's been obviously a lot of criticism about overregulation from the Obama administration and that's hampering the recovery. But isn't it just a lack of demand, a big recession? Isn't that what's the problem here?
It's part of it, but I think it's also uncertainty about how these new regulations will play out ultimately in corporate profitability, whether it's Dodd-Frank or anything else this group has done. There's a real lack of confidence throughout the economy as to where we're going in the future and a lack of understanding what this administration really intends to do or not do. And I think that uncertainty has been part of the problem with capital formation that we've seen in this recession.
Charles Elson, head of the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
And finally, you've heard of the Michelle Obama sales bump that clothing stores get every time the first lady wears a new outfit. Well, how about the Joe Biden bump? The vice president was in Beijing last week, and he stopped into a noodle shop for lunch. Ever since then, diners have been lining up for as long as an hour to get a table at the restaurant. They're asking for the Biden special, steamed meat buns and noodles with soybean paste. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
When the ultrasound machine was introduced in Asia, self-selective abortions erupted across the continent, resulting in 160 million missing girls.
People see this machine as really a way to ensure them a boy.
I'm Bob Moon, new medical technology with unintended consequences. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.